Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the cheapest wine Rob could find at Total Wine, the BDX Claret from Bordeaux in France. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. How are you tonight?
Oh, I am just fan-fucking-tastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic?
Fan-fucking-tastic. If I was any better, it must be illegal. That's all I can say.
If you were any better, you'd be Wilford Wrong?
Well, that's what's true. Yes, if you were better. I am always exceptional because I have no morality whatsoever or sense of, you know, purpose. Or...
decorum.
No. Lord, no. You'd have to be sane for that. And obviously, I'm quite crazy.
Well.
But does that make me sane to know that I'm crazy? It's exceptional because I can't control myself.
Well, there's that.
I don't know what's going to happen in any given day. It's really exciting for me, you know?
It's not as exciting for the rest of the world.
That's the point. As a sociopath, you don't care.
Damn it.
No. I'm also a narcissist. If it's a cyst or a path, I'm that, basically.
Sounds like a certain ex-president.
Howard Taft? Is that what his name was? Franklin Pierce, is that who you're talking about?
Franklin Pierce?
Yes, I was a big fan of his. Did you know that he ran over a woman on a horse and killed her because he was drunk?
Yeah. It's just some presidential facts by Wilford
Wrong. It is great. Andrew Jackson, you know? I never trust a man with two first names.
That's true.
Jackson isn't a classical name, but often people name their kid Jackson. So
they do.
I don't have children.
Or a dog.
A dog could be. Or a cat. But I don't have children, no. I was surgically castrated as part of one of my criminal cases in Thailand.
In Thailand?
Yes. By chemically castrated, they took a machete and whacked up my nuts.
How was that chemical?
It wasn't. They put some rubbing alcohol on it, though, beforehand.
Before?
Yes, they wanted to make it sterile. They're not savages.
They wanted to make it sterile before they made you sterile.
That's right. That's right. They also gave me a involuntary circumcision at the same time, strangely enough. That's a very sharp machete, I'm just saying.
Oh,
it's nice.
Well,
yeah.
It's nuts.
Not anymore.
Anyway, on tonight's show, it's a wine. We're having a wine that might make you want to have a circumcision with a machete instead of drinking it. I don't know.
I'm nervous.
This is a wine that I was at Total Wine a while back on vacation. And I said, wow, that wine is fucking cheap. And it's a Bordeaux. Well, what the hell is that? I mean, it was $5.97.
Oh, Lord. Why are you doing this to
me? $5.97.
Where is Rebecca to spit out the words with venom? Mm-hmm. Why did you bring this in my house?
Well, this is BDX Claret. A claret, Cabernet, Merlot, Cab Franc, maybe. Normally it's a blend of three, but it's not necessarily. It's a red blend of Bordeaux grapes. It is from Bordeaux. It's from Entre-deux-Mer. Now, Entre-deux-Mer is the largest area within Bordeaux, but it's not really the good area.
Well,
the Medoc, you know. That's Medoc is probably a good area. Left bank, right bank. This is not one of those banks.
No, this is...
This is like, you know, in California, so you have Napa, Sonoma. This is more...
Cabbage patches of Lodi?
This is more San Diego, probably. Oh. The San Diego of Bordeaux. But there are some things that you might heard of. You might have heard of Côtes de Bordeaux. Often I've bought some at, like, Costco that were Côtes de Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. They were sulfuric, and I had to let them open up for a day or two before you could drink them. And then even then, you just pour them out. There's a Cadillac. That's one. Cadillac Côte de Bordeaux, I think is another one. Okay. These were all small little satellite appellations. Often, Bordeaux Superior is made up from this kind of area. You're like, where the fuck is that coming from? You're in Costco. You're like, Bordeaux Superior, but I've never heard of that chateau. Yeah, yeah. It's from Entre de Mer. It's Entre de Mer. You're like, it's the mer, okay? Or what is the French word for shit? Mared.
That's dad.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, that's what this is. It's exciting. The label is ugly. The cap is ugly. It has like a, what would you call that, Scott? A turquoise Aztec-ish pattern?
It's like an adult coloring book penciled in with pastel crayons.
That has no relation to Bordeaux whatsoever.
If you looked at this label, you'd go, oh, this is what Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg are doing next. Mm-hmm.
We're also eating lamb chops, so if you hear me chewing, it's because I have a lamb chop in my mouth.
Yeah.
But this wine is a pure experiment. It's cheap. It's probably shitty. But what is the cheapest wine at Total Wine in Bordeaux, or generally anywhere? I didn't see anything cheaper at Total Wine than this wine. $5.97. What is it like? Is it palatable? Is it better than some of the shit we've had? Because we've had some bad wines from Bordeaux.
Well, I think the proper comparison point would be, is it better than any of the California designate Cab Sauvignons? Because I think that's really what we're comparing this to.
I'm comparing it, you know, to something I make in my bathtub.
Something you make in your bathtub? What a... You have a bowel movement while you're taking a bath?
No, I meant wine that you make in your bathtub. Why do you have to be gross about it?
Well, I didn't know you made wine in your bathtub.
No, if I did, that's where I would make it. If I made wine, it'd be my bathtub.
But in fact, you do drop a deuce when you take a bath.
No, you don't do that.
I don't, nor does anybody else, but that's what you do.
I don't do that.
You drop a doo-doo?
I don't. That's disgusting.
Do you do?
Nevertheless, folks,
do-do-do.
We are going to test this wine, see if it's any good.
Yeah.
Almost like Consumer Reports tonight. I don't know. We'll just see. Or maybe Wilford will just join the show and we'll have a jolly good time.
That's right. I'm jolly, Scott. Very jolly.
I've never hoped for Wilford's participation in a podcast more than I am right now.
I think I'm going to be the one that actually reviews the wine when Rob, the wine guy, drinks it. So, you know, it's going to be fantastic.
Isn't that how it usually is?
Yes, but it's more like a ventriloquist act.
Really?
Yes, he'll be having wine in his mouth, and then you'll hear my voice while he's doing that to prove that we're not one and the same, I think, is what it is. Yeah, yeah. What's that? Oh, I'm reading Scott's... No, Scott, you cannot... No, that's disgusting. It's not a real ventriloquist act, folks. Scott was getting froggy over there, so, you know. I think he's hitting on me again.
Ribbit, ribbit.
I know.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the BDX Claret from Bordeaux. It's a 2020 vintage, in case you gave a fucking shit. I think it's exceptional that they actually, you know, paid attention to make sure everything was from the same year. I'm looking to see if I can give you more information, and I can't. It is... No. Oh,
just go ahead and read the label.
I will. They said, this Bordeaux red has an expressive nose of ripe forest fruits... A lot of forest fruits. Well-balanced and structured on the palate, this wine offers It's like, this wine, blah, 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 this wine. Great roundness with soft tannins, expressive and aromatic finale, and on fruity notes underpinned by soft spices. Enjoy this wine with beef, cheese, or game. Like Twister or Risk. The game of Risk. Nobody ever knows how to play a game of Risk.
They didn't even take the time to write out a decent narrative on the label.
That's because they use that same label for many other wines.
It reads as such.
Yes, I know. Well, in the glass, folks, it's a little bit translucent.
Or very.
I wonder if this is going to be as good as the little mini bottles that we had on that episode.
Oh, my God.
I know. Oh, on the nose is an aromatic treat.
What?
Pine salt.
Epsom salts?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah,
it's
minerality.
In the 70s, you saw a player get their bell rung. Now we refer to it as a head injury or a concussion or head trauma. But back in the day, in the 70s, a football player got his bell rung and they would stick something up his nose to revive him.
It's pine oil.
That's what this is what
yeah.
I think that would have been like.
Pine oil. Forest floor. I mean, they are saying it has a forest-esque, forestry element to it. And it does.
Pine sol?
Yeah, pine oil.
Pine sol?
It's pine sol. Not pledge. But pine salt. Pine oil. And a soft amount of... I can't decide. It's not very good. Black currant.
Okay, if you want there to
it's
be.
It's not blackberry.
No.
Black currant.
Mentholated alcohol
and maybe
pine sol.
Mostly pine oil. We're saying pine oil. It sounds fancier, man.
Except it's not.
I know. But it's piney. Let's just say it's piney.
It's cleaner made out of pine oil.
It doesn't smell like the woods. It smells like pine sol. Oh, it smells like the forest. No. It smells like when you're dusting your house.
So it smells like
or washing the
pine
the
based cleaner.
Yeah.
That even the Dollar Tree and Dollar General are like, no, this isn't good enough for us.
Well, it's not Pine Solve. It's like it's the pine one that's the knockoff.
Yeah, pine oil.
Made in China.
Product.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the grocery and there's yogurt section and then there's yogurt-like dairy products.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is. This is Pine Solve like
pine oil adjacent.
Cleaner.
Yes, pine oil adjacent. Made with artificial pine oil. Smells like real pine oil.
That's what this...
Pine tar, perhaps.
Pine tar would be more pleasant on the nose than this. Any tar...
Let's go.
...would be more pleasant on this. Do we have to?
Yes.
Why did you do this?
Oh, it's so good. Nom, nom, nom. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be me, folks. Here we go. It tastes like Well, it was going Jesus. It was going well. It's going well until it became wildly acidic. That's the most acidic wine I, Wilford Wong, have ever had. Jesus Christ.
Safe to say you've had a lot of acidic things in your mouth, Wilfred?
Yes, mostly stuffed in put on a rag and stuffed in my mouth. Even my own underwear. That was not acidic, though. It was very disgusting, but whew.
It
has length. It has an aftertaste. Wow. It's a very brutal wine. brutal.
It's
oh man. Yes, officer, I will talk now.
The
what did I do? Quit hurting me.
You better talk. Open up, pal, or we're going to make you drink more of DBX. Oh, BDX? Oh.
It's worse if you take less in your mouth, strangely enough.
That's what Wilfred said. Honestly, we've had worse.
Much. I've had worse from Bordeaux. It's just...
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I have. I mean, some of those...
Well, do we really think those were from Bordeaux?
They're probably from around here.
We did an international wine festival episode or something.
Oh, no, not those. Those are worse, but...
Called it, where he did the 30 wine days of Christmas and little... What, 150 ml bottles, 75 ml bottles, whatever they were.
Yeah.
They were God. It was...
Yeah.
It was painfully bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
I really don't want to talk about this wine, but to give it some context, we've been in search of quality, just a palatable California Designate Cab Sauvignon for years now, really. This would be top three of those that we've done, probably, in terms of all those. I would say it's better than nearly all of them. That being said, there's this deeply flawed acidity about this wine.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
The wine itself, beyond that flaw, is okay-ish.
It's okay adjacent.
Yeah.
It's not okay, but...
Ish. It wants to be okay. It thought about being okay. And then the acidity just says, you know, why would you kid yourself and think that you're okay? You're not.
I think if you had this with food...
We're eating lamb chops with it.
You would eat less food. You wouldn't be so fat. You'd look better. You wouldn't, you know, wheeze when you breathe. You might actually. Food does mask the acidity somewhat.
Well, particularly fatty, like, you know, the lamb chops we're having.
Yeah.
Fattiness maybe downplays it a little bit because... That's an interesting thought. Let's try that. Instead of the wine chasing the food, let's use the food to chase the wine. So, a little gnaw on a bone.
Yeah.
Some of that fattiness on the palate.
Mm-hmm. It washes away and there's nothing there. It's a whole ball of nothingness. It's not acidic. It passes like... I just quaffed it, by the way.
It's still acidic, but it's not this overly acidic thing. So it's interesting that we added the fat content.
This wine would be all right with food. And if you're... If you're at a wedding...
It still would be nakedly
it's very,
acidic.
It's very cheap. You'd have to... I would recommend chilling it. A little bit of chill will mute that too. It's completely forgettable. It's wet and forgettable and dry. It has nothing there. But in its nothingness...
That's something.
That actually is. And that sounds stupid, right, folks? But there's nothing there to offend. There's nothing there to offend.
Yeah, there's just nothing there. Yeah.
If you're just standing there drinking, not even caring what it tastes like, then why should it taste like anything? You know? I mean, that's kind of where I come about. There are wines like that exist where you're like, there's nothing to this wine, and it's fine. You know what I mean? Because you're not analyzing it. It's a piece of shit $5 bottle of wine.
Which is the way most people drink anyway. Seriously.
It is.
But I think outside of that context and outside of lacing your mouth with nice lamb chop fat, to get around the acidity.
Yeah.
You know, oh, by the way, here's a $5.99 bottle of wine for with your lamb chops. One of these things just doesn't belong there.
No, I don't want that. Where am I? Where's that at? At Shoney's?
That's but
Ryan's Steakhouse.
If that's how you have to drink this, it's like no.
There's a buffet with lots of lamb chops and it's $5.99 wine.
No, I'm not going in there.
Why? There's a lot of fleas in the carpet too. Yeah, it's a little smoky.
Where'd you get bed bugs? At the $5.99 buffet with lamb chops.
How'd you get crabs? Well. I sat down, you know, and those chairs, they were plush. They had crabs in them. So I got some itchy balls now.
It's the kind of place where you actually do pick up something from the toilet seat.
Well, how'd you get herpes? Well, I was blowing some guy out behind the restaurant. It's better than eating the food.
Oh, well.
Well, I don't know why you told me that. I don't know why either. I just felt like I needed to disclose.
You just wanted to share.
Yeah, I did.
You're just a generous guy.
I shared a lot behind that restaurant, I'm just saying.
And we don't need to know anymore.
No, well, you know, the restaurant was Orion Steakhouse. You know what their favorite mayonnaise is?
What is their favorite mayonnaise?
It's Duke's mayonnaise. That's the best one. Oh, folks, by the way, a message from Duke's Mayonnaise. Hi, have you ever wanted to masturbate? Well, the best masturbation is done with Duke's Mayonnaise, folks. Duke's Mayonnaise, jerk off with us. See, that's the new jingle. It's a national thing, yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
By the way, Duke's Mayonnaise is good.
To masturbate with, right?
No. It's just a good creamy mayonnaise
to masturbate with.
Creamy?
Yeah. It's creamy.
What's wrong with you?
Which one?
I don't know which
I'm
one.
I'm bored. That's my problem. Would you give me another lamb chop? Well, you know. No, I'm just talking in general in life. I have to spice it up. You wrote those jokes anyway.
No.
Yes, you did. I don't know why you did that.
No.
You're a pervert.
All right, let's talk about this wine.
Okay. Let me
front palate.
Let me start off with this. We're done.
That's it.
What else is there? I'm sorry, I didn't make it wet enough.
Don't you think BDX deserves the full consternation of our podcast?
Yes, a wet fart. That's what it deserves. That's cheap, though.
What made you think that this was podcast worthy?
Oh, it is podcast worthy. There's all sorts of podcast material, man. Some are good, some are bad. you know.
Just, you have to post a picture of this to the Libsyn.
Oh,
It's very...
ugly.
Psychedelic.
It's not psychedelic.
Ish.
It's like if somebody drank paint and then threw up. Naturally, you would throw up if you drank paint, but... and then your throw up is what the label and whatnot looks like. I like how, though, it's flat black and they have the ugly BDX and they say, really, like in a mature way, claret written down below. It's not.
In a very serious font.
No. I defy them to tell me what wines are in a claret. Grapes? Yeah. I wonder if Benzinger made this. Taste of Benzinger.
How dare you insult Benzinger?
I previously insulted.
Well, you have, but yeah. I'm saying.
Oh, this wine. It's Jeff. Hi, I made this wine. I went over to France. I said, do you have flowers to attract the bugs or do you use Raid? And at BDX. They run around with a can of Raid and just spray it in the air. And I was like, oh, I'm aghast. That's just horrible. It's not natural winemaking. And that's also not a proper pesticide. They have a whole case of Raid. Flying insect Raid. They didn't even have it proper. Then they love the wasp spray. It's like 21-foot stream.
Oh, Lord.
I know. They sprayed their vines with that, too. It's disgusting. I was like, what? No. You don't spread Roundup on your, spray your vines with Roundup? No. They're afraid, we don't want weeds to grow up. That's your vine, you stupid bastard. And they did it anyway. Said, plant some flowers. And they didn't. They planted marijuana plants.
Well.
Which was nice.
The marijuana plants would make better wine than whatever grapes they use for this.
It's marijuana wine.
Marijuana wine.
Yeah, it might be. Hemp. You like this, don't you?
No. There's. I want you to describe the front palate because I think there's nothingness there.
Okay, I can describe the front palate.
The nothing.
There is underripe sour cherry. There's just a wink of smoky tar that's just very, very faint. And that's from the oak-ish. I mean, the wood. I'm sorry. That's from the wood that they put it in.
Yeah. Is it wood?
Yeah. I don't think it's an oak barrel.
But,
you know.
Yeah, that's the one characteristic of what we might expect to find in a proper Bordeaux. Some sense of earthiness that's represented. You called it tar there.
I didn't say earthiness. I said tar.
Well, that's a black demonstration top fell of in there. Earthiness. But the fruit, I'm glad you get underripe sour cherry because I get nothing.
That's what the nothing is. Yeah, it's underripe sour cherry. Underripe cherry. I mean, underripe sour cherry is a bit redundant, but it's underripe cherry. I mean, it's like blink of an eye gone, but.
And we don't expect Bordeaux, Rhone, French, just in general, to be these fruit-forward profiles, but this is absolute fucking nothingness.
It's nothingness. The acidity is falling off now, probably.
It really is.
Well,
and
I mean,
I think it's not just because, you know, we're eating fatty meats that are delicious, by the way.
We're eating as quickly as possible, too, by the way.
But, you know, sometimes you get a hit of something that on your first taste just blows you away. And it's still
always that
highly acidity in this wine.
Oh, it's out of balance. Yeah.
It's out of balance, but it's not as acidic as we presented initially.
I'm honestly surprised it's not metallic. With the amount of acidity that's in there, it never goes to metallic. It's just more, stomach bile.
I'm surprised that it's not more flawed than it is for the price point. Because it...
Well, it's not... It, yeah.
The acidity aside, it's just kind of... Yeah. It's not undrinkable.
After you get accustomed to the nastiness that is the acidity and you kind of accept your fate,
your
it's
body's
okay.
pH readjusts to this acidic level thing coming in.
I think it's whatever cells in your body fight the AIDS virus attack this. So your T cells.
Probably less effectively.
Well, I don't know. Fate gave some. Like, do you have AIDS? No, I just drank BDX.
Oh, okay, you're good.
You're like, no, actually, that's worse. Something in your body combats the acidity.
Not vaccinated against COVID?
Yeah.
You have immunosuppression issues? Oh, but you drank the BDX? You're good. You're good, buddy. That's going to build up your immune system.
In Native American culture, wasn't there always a test of manhood? Like, to become a warrior, you had to go do ABCFG?
Well, in some cultures, yes.
Yeah.
Dream Quest, the different... things different Native American cultures have similar processes about becoming a man, becoming a warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think in wine culture, if you're able to drink BDX and not die, that makes you bona fide. Makes you a man. Or a woman. Or whatever.
Not.
Whatever you want to be. It makes you powerful. It shows that you belong, that you won't die from bad wine.
You kind of missed the mark with this analogy, I think.
No, it makes no sense, but it's okay.
Well, Okay.
I'm just going to tell a dick joke next. So it's all right.
We got to go somewhere.
Yes. Just talk about Scott's dick. That's a joke.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. I set that up. And I wrote that myself. It wasn't Scott. He didn't write that one.
No.
No, but he did write, slide across the table. No, really, Wilford, my dick is huge. And I went, okay. I didn't believe him, folks. I've been drinking BDX, but I'm not stupid. I didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday. That was on Wednesday. Strange. When they said fall off a turnip truck, what fucking trucks have turnips? Who the hell even eats turnips anymore?
Oh, turnips are delicious.
I didn't say they weren't, but I said, who the hell eats them?
I do.
You're a dumbass, but nobody eats turnips. Root vegetables.
Turnips, parsnips
are delicious.
Golden beetroots.
I know. Beets.
Golden beets.
Oh, yes. But pickled beets. I love pickled beets.
I don't care for the classic pickled beets. I do love a golden beet.
I care for the classic pickled beets. That's where I grew up. My grandmother always made pickled beets.
Eggs in them?
Sometimes.
Yes.
I'm not a big fan of the hard-boiled egg, but I've seen that. She didn't do it that way, but there are plenty of people that do the same thing.
Yeah.
Becky absolutely fucking hates beets. I love them.
You know, they ruin your tablecloth. At grandma's Sunday dinner.
They're also high in carbs, aren't they? Beets?
High sugar content.
Mm-hmm.
Huge sugar content.
Well, but
you gotta do.
Parsnips are really nice, though. Turnips are nice. Roasted.
I love roasting them. A little bit of balsamic vinegar.
But
it's just pick your herb to throw on there.
Oh, yeah.
And just 350.
Mm-hmm. Wintertime,
20 to 40 minutes.
With a roasted chicken.
Oh.
That's a beautiful combination. You know what isn't a good combination? BDX with that.
BDX with lamb chops, BDX with
gonorrhea.
That's probably an appropriate pairing.
It is. It is. Yet we drink it.
You
like it more than I do.
You're trying to cure your gonorrhea.
No. I take pills for that.
That's right. He does.
Actually,
don't ask him where he got it.
Well, I think we would have to ask you, Wilfred. I realize that you're just a persona of Rob the Wine Guy, but
you keep saying
an answer.
You keep saying that,
Scott.
We would
need it to come from you, Wilfred.
No. You keep saying that, Scott, but this is all you're in your mind.
Oh.
I'm just reading what you write.
It's in my mind.
Folks, you should see it. It's glorious. Scott furiously writes all of these lines that I read. I'm like, what? It's like, say this as Wilford, and it's like this long, it's like a manifesto almost. I leave out the anti-Semitic stuff, though, because that gets, Scott goes off on tangents, and I'm like, no, we're not going to talk about that, Scott. That's
more of a cosine.
Cosine?
Yeah, I don't do tangents. I go cosine. Sine or cosine.
Scott.
Not a tangent.
That's just inappropriate. We won't put that on the show, but, you know, a lot of jokes like that, so I have to filter them.
You filter.
You only hear
well.
The clean jokes here on the Wine Vault. So,
anyway, folks, Jesus. We're going to take a break.
The clean jokes.
That's right. Well, I don't know.
On dishwashing liquid commercials, it's clean jokes.
It's fun. It's like a rabbit hole with when you're doing Wilford.
When I'm doing Wilford.
You don't know where it's going to go.
That's a fact. We don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, it's like, what is Wilford going to say next?
The real question is,
yes,
where is BDX going to go next?
In the trash, Scott.
Hopefully down the toilet.
Or the sink. What? Or maybe you'll take it home. So, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we have a topic that can only go one way, and that is probably really, really wrong.
Why do you say that? Anyway.
South, down the toilet.
What? No.
Anyway, the topic is dirty pleasures.
Oh, my gosh. I've been waiting for 4 years for this.
4 years?
4 years,
I yes. don't think you've waited 4 years for anything that involves dirty or pleasures.
Well, that's right. Now, can I talk about my dirty?
No.
It involves Duke Mayonnaise.
Okay. You've already talked about those. Actually, Rob the Wine Guy's been talking about those. What? No, dirty. How dirty pleasures came up.
I didn't talk about the Prego, Prego spaghetti sauce.
Talking what? About lamb chops. Or yeah. Rob, uh-huh. surprise, did some lamb chops. Delicious, mm-hmm. by the way. Baked them. Interesting preparation.
Roasted. $4.50.
Nice.
$4.50. Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. But $4.50 for like 30 minutes.
And these were chops, not rack.
Yeah. No, they were racked.
They were rack, okay.
And then I sliced them and then just quickly in the cast iron.
Yeah.
A little butter.
Just hit them.
Yeah.
So roasted them, rack, oven, mm-hmm. boom, boom, cast iron with some butter.
I think if delicious. You're doing it in the oven, folks, you're probably going to be looking at, I would do them 450 for 15 minutes, then turn the pan. And then another 15 minutes, turn down to 425 and just do it maybe for another 10 minutes.
I like doing the meat side first and then the bone side second.
Another way you could do it too would be searing it off.
Which is up.
Yeah, searing it off. One thing I did, so I had the
bone. Never seared off chops like that.
Well, one thing you could do, one thing I did was, you don't want the bones resting on the pan. I had a little rack there. So I built a little foil.
Because they'll burn off a little bit.
Yeah, I built a little foil shim, and so it sat on the foil shim.
If you've ever made your own stock, take about 6 rack worth mm-hmm. of lamb bones.
Yeah.
You will have the most decadent stock ever. Back to dirty pleasures.
Yes, get back to that.
When we go,
say it slow, Scott.
To visit the cousins and hang out with the friends in Michigan, we do mm-hmm. we do rack and we do lamb chops. Dirty pleasure is we always try to make extra so that you cannot possibly eat them all. And then the dirty pleasure is first person up in the morning gets the cold lamb chops. My dirty pleasure is that first cup of coffee in the morning with leftover lamb chops. A bit of an unusual pairing, but god damn, that's a dirty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if you're the lucky one to get the last lamb chop with your first cup of coffee. That's a fucking dirty pleasure right there.
Another dirty pleasure, folks, is you've been grilling the night before. You don't eat all the steak or whatever, especially if it's a fatty steak. You save that. Dice that up. Next day, dice up some potatoes, and you make a fucking hash.
You know, it's a funny story.
Yes,
that
yes.
Somebody did that in Vegas yes. and got criticized.
But you were semi-nude, and you had chewed on the meat.
I had not chewed on the meat.
You chewed on the meat, but you were semi-nude, too.
I had a t-shirt on.
But shorts.
I looked at it, Scott.
And flip-flops.
That comes back to my dirty pleasure. Scott was basically nude. He was wearing a very loose fitting. You could see his breasts and everything. And he has big breasts. This tank top is very, very revealing. Spaghetti straps and then loose fitting boxers. Yeah, it was so sexual. I was like, wow, I don't want to eat the rest of my life. Kind of sexual.
But yeah, it was disgusting. The worst, though, was Hank laying in the bed with his nuts hanging out of his fucking... It's like, dude, why... You have covers on your bed. Put them over your body. What are you spreading? I don't understand you guys. You two were, like, there by yourselves with each other for a while. What went on when Steve and I weren't there? I mean, did we ruin something?
You brought it out in him.
Did we just walked in and were like, damn, man. Now we can't fuck. Is that what that was? Is that what happened? That was the
that's
actual...
That's what you said?
No, that's what you two said.
No.
Okay.
Actually, you walked in and you went...
It's a very suspicious... Yeah, we were partying, man. We were drunk, man.
We were wasted.
Oh, yes, we were. Very wasted. Very, very wasted. And then we got there, folks, and we sobered up by drinking. And then we went out and drank some more. I wouldn't say that I was hungover the next day, though.
Dirty pleasures.
Yeah.
Continue.
Chicken pot pie. Especially if it's made homemade. That's really fucking good. The buttery crust. Oh, I mean, it's never... I'm not talking about Marie Callender's or any of those things.
No, I mean,
but a chicken pot pie done right with a buttery crust and a wonderful, wonderful thick gooey broth that's just so that's brought properly. Oh, that's a guilty pleasure.
Let me give you my spin.
Oh yes, tell me, Scott.
On chicken pot pie.
Oh no.
Chicken thighs.
Yeah, chicken thighs good.
Roasted.
Uh huh.
Then you braise them with sauteed leeks.
Okay, that'd be good.
For about an hour with just a wax paper on top of it with a hole piercing in it. And then you finish it off with puff pastry.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculously good, folks.
Mine gluten-free, mind you. But
ridiculously good.
I did it. And of course, Henry, my eldest, just fawns over it. I mean, he loves... Henry, the one child that really, 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 really loves my cooking is Henry.
Yeah.
William, Luke, now that I start making Alfredo sauce, yes. But Henry loves everything I make. Everything. Even if I just make it up. He loves it. He eats everything I make, which is kind of nice. The other night, I don't know what night it was, but... I was like, you know what? I think I want to make lasagna. But I didn't have any ricotta. I didn't have any cottage cheese. So I was like, I'll make a bechamel.
And that's the traditional way.
Yes, it is. So I made a bechamel.
It's bechamel without ricotta.
Mm-hmm. And then I knew Luke wouldn't eat tomato sauce. He likes tomatoes, didn't like tomato sauce. Who knows? So I made him a white lasagna.
Okay.
With just straight bechamel and mozzarella in his own little ramekin.
Aww.
I know. And he loved that. He ate that. He's like, I hate pasta. But then when I do, what I did was, one time I made a traditional, like old school Alfredo. And that's, you know, the pasta water with just Parmesan and butter. It's not thick. It's not this goopy mess. It's very light, a little olive oil as well. So it's very light and, you know, whatnot. You have the flavor of the Parmesan, but it's not this thick paste. And it's also not going to stop your heart either, which Alfredo will. But traditional Alfredo is supposed to be lighter, right?
There's opinions on that.
Italians.
It shouldn't be this clumpy, big, heavy thing.
Italians would suggest something.
It should be rich in heavy cream, but it's still got a lighter texture. It's not as cheesy as we like to make it here.
But normally, it is cheese and butter. That's Alfredo and pasta water. There isn't heavy cream. That's Americans imparting themselves on that. It shouldn't have heavy cream. It shouldn't be this thick, goopy mess.
It's more the French style of an Alfredo sauce.
Well, nevertheless. So he likes that.
Cream and everything.
And guess what else? Just to knock that up. Little pancetta.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It's bacon. Pancetta.
I tell them it's bacon, but it's pancetta.
Well, but it's capicola. You could do any.
I wouldn't waste capicola like that.
Italian.
I like eating capicola too much.
You're freaking using pancetta.
Yeah, I don't eat pancetta. I cook with pancetta.
I get it.
You know, that's for cooking, not for eating. So
there's nothing better than taking that high-end Italian charcuterie and just getting, it has to be brilliant bread, but just making that simple, that thinly sliced pancetta, nice, thin capicola. And maybe like a mortadella with it.
Oh, yeah.
And you bake that off in the oven. That's an Italian sub.
What about another guilty pleasure? It's a restaurant Scott and I visited last night called Thurman's in Columbus. And Thurman's has burgers, but not just any burgers. They claim they're 12-ounce patties. They're not 12-ounce patties. It's about a pound and a half when you get done with it. This thing is, I got the three cheese.
Yeah, it's such a boring order.
I love that burger. That's what I get every time.
I know.
I just love that. It's just, it's, you're just ignorant, but you know. You like to, what'd you get, the Johnny Burger?
I get the Johnny Burger. It's a horseradish cheese sauce.
That's very nice.
Shot of tequila in the burger.
Yeah, but you didn't get the shot of tequila.
Well, they cook it with a shot of tequila, and then you can get a shot of tequila on the side.
Yeah, you didn't get the shot of tequila on the side.
Did not get the shot. Well,
because you're lame.
We'd been out and about for a little while.
Yeah, but you were driving.
I was driving. Still.
Yeah, we saw the Columbus Crew be victorious once again against the horrible Toronto, whatever the fuck they are.
Toronto FC.
They don't have a name? They don't have a mascot?
Nope. Toronto FC.
You know what? I'm going to give a mascot. Toronto FC, your new mascot is the blow-up dolls. So there you go. They're not necessarily sex dolls. They're blow-up dolls. Congratulations. And you're going to have a mascot at your next game. It's going to be a blow-up doll. Male, female, doesn't matter.
They did have a player that we nicknamed Ken. They were wearing colorful clothes that might have been...
Looked like this. Looked like the BDX top.
It really did.
Yeah.
It might have fit in the Barbie movie, the attire of the kit they wore.
By the way, in case you were wondering, BDX, Bordeaux, or Claret, is a screw top. So, of course it is. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So Scott off the air has realized that he is an arrogant, white, old man.
Actually,
that doesn't understand women.
That's what Rob said, because
no, it's true. You are. You are
a man in his
household. You're also sexist and everything else. It's just terrible. Triple B just came downstairs to say hello. Then she heard me talk, and for some reason that just drove her away. It's okay, though. It's typical. What's going on with your water? It's painful. Why do you have that many bottles of water? Jesus Christ. I didn't even look at that. Thank you for pointing that out. Scott, you have a whole case of water that some are drank. There's like, he keeps bringing them every week, but he doesn't drink them the week before. There are full bottles of water there.
I'm working on my water consumption.
Hey, Becky, would you like to have a great bottle of water? Chase this. You're going to love it. It's delicious. That's the best time. You need a mask it. It's $5.97.
Openly said, where is Becky to say, why did you bring this into my house?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Becky is avoiding the show because she knows that there's so many great wines that we have on the show, like the BDX Claret from Bordeaux, that Scott's going to provide a numerical score.
Jen, I really liked his hat, by the way.
Oh, good.
He said it was sick.
It's a very nice hat. It was a very expensive hat. I just have never been able to wear it. It's just always uncomfortable.
For those pointing that out, they're talking about a flat bill hat that Scott bought for himself.
It's cool. It's like black.
Mm-hmm. What would you call it? The lettering is subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is a 72-year-old man that had a flat bill hat. So you can imagine why he doesn't wear it.
I'm
37 and I don't wear flat bill hats, so. Flat bill hats are like the scourge.
It's black with like the white lap. It's like plain white lettering. Henry was like, this is sick.
I think it's similar to the cultures that put like the rings around their neck to make their neck taller, or like they put the big old discs in their ears. That's a flat bill hat to a lesser degree because it's uncomfortable and it looks like shit.
I think it's maybe less
dumb.
on the scale of being uncomfortable than the rings on your neck to extend.
Well, that's
your neck.
Probably bad. That's a little extreme, but I'm always extreme.
It's why I couldn't wear the hat.
It's a dipshit. Flat bill hats, folks. If you wear one, you look like a jack off.
I think they look fine.
On who?
On anybody. They just are uncomfortable.
Who do you look good on?
I don't mind the look. I don't mind the look. That's why I got the hat. I'll have a flat bill hat.
That proves more my point.
But then it didn't work for me. And it wasn't because the look. It was because it was fucking uncomfortable.
I don't even, like, you have the hard front hat.
Yes.
I even have an issue with that anymore. I just want my hat to be as soft and as, like, malleable as possible.
No, you want a hat that stands up on your head. Don't be...
I don't know. I mean, I have those both, but... I like that style. I really just like the kind that is just,
but
like...
I like the flatter, pancake-style baseball cap. It's fine.
Yeah,
I've got many of those.
It's just... Well, like a flat belt, I tried to put it on. I went, this fucking hurts, man. What the hell is this? It's like being in a vice. Like, the front hits your forehead, and it's like... I don't want that.
It's like... In some hats, I like the trucker hat style.
Trucker hat's fun. This is a trucker hat, technically. It has the mesh in the back.
Except it's got the
flat. It's not flat, poofy in the front.
It's not. Yeah. It doesn't stand up.
I know. I don't.
Like a proper trucker hat.
So, Scott, what is your numerical score for this one? 1 to 100.
That's right. And what's your guilty pleasure?
It's not the worst thing we've done. I don't recall something from Bordeaux being worse than this. But
on the show? Although, no, Scott. That damn thing we had from Kroger, that Alt-Madoc.
I don't remember it. I do not remember it. But I'm going to give it 81. It's not good. I don't recommend it. But, you know...
$6, though.
$6. It's okay. Fine. It's not good.
No.
The acidity... Yeah, the acidity calmed down. Our first reaction to it... You know, the acidity just blew us away. And then... After that, you can't say it's palatable acidity. It's a flaw. It's a huge flaw. And it just... Well, but the bottom line is, the acidity aside, it's just not that good of a wine.
It's just a weedy piece of crap. I mean, it's $6 and it's what you think a $6 wine should taste like. Bad. But it is very, very dry. So we'll start off with that. So at least it's, and it does resemble something that is bad from Bordeaux. Right? Okay. I mean, I've had gross wines. It sometimes get these wines and they are a little bit sulfuric right off the top. This isn't that. It's bad in different ways. I'm giving it 80. Well, you know what? I'll give it an 81 as well. It's right there. The 81. It's not 82. It's not an 82. No. 81 is top of the mark. We haven't had a 70-point wine in a while. 70-point wines normally are from the United States and have residual sugar. This does not even have a wink of that. This does not taste like a factory-made wine. It just tastes like a really pig slop, cheap-ass fucking thing. What it doesn't have, and sometimes these pig slop wines, they have some sort of rustic charm. This does not have rustic charm. It's just pig slop. So, you know, I'm right now rinsing out my glass with water, pouring it in the decanter. And if Scott would notice, we are one decanter down because I broke one.
Aww.
Monday, whenever we did it last time. Apparently, don't take the edge and accidentally ting it on a countertop because that cracks them. That was already halfway all the way. Our decanters are pretty, they're well used. If you ever get a nick or a chip in a decanter, you know what you use? If it's not a crack, a good way to seal it is a clear fingernail polish.
I was going to say fingernail polish.
Yeah, that seals it. Ours are not aesthetically pleasing. They are for function only. They are beat to hell. We have beat to hell decanters here.
Road hard, put away wet.
Oh my gosh, this one is just fucking destroyed. And one thing you don't need to spend a lot of money on is a decanter. Listen,
you're on vacation and you don't have one. You know what works perfectly well? A $5 flower vase.
Well, some of your decanters look like a $5 flower vase.
I have a flower vase that I use for a decanter.
You know, sometimes Scott's like, you know what? I can do a lot for $5. I go to certain places in Thailand, and he gets a, what's that called? Angry fuck fuck for $5. Wait a minute, that's a lobster. Angry fuck fuck is $20.
Sex. Sex.
Angry fuck fuck.
Angry fuck sex.
Oh, angry fuck sex. Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying the dirty version. Scott wants
That's the dirty version?
Scott wants to be clean. That's the Puritan version, folks. Angry fuck sex. Yes.
Well.
Yes. I don't know what that involves, but it probably involves the butt. So, folks.
That's right.
What's wrong with
you? For Rob the Wine Guy, it's Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.